voice above the screams. And of course this is true, they are very old barbarian heroes. The taxman stared. Would you like a peppermint? Said Mr. Savaloy, as Hamish's wheelchair thundered past in pursuit of a man with a broken sword and a pressing desire to stay alive. You may find it helps if you are around the hoard for any length of time. The aroma from the proffered paper bag hit six beneficent winds like a flamethrower.
How can you smell anything after eating those?
You can't, said Mr. Savaloy happily. The taxman continued to stare. The fighting was a fast and furious affair, but somehow only on one side. The horde fought like you'd expect old men to fight, slowly and with care. All the activity was on the part of the ninjas. But no matter how well flung the throwing star, or speedy the kick, the target was always, without any obvious effort, not there. "Since we have this moment to chat," said Mr. Savaloy, as something with a lot of blades hit the wall just above the taxman's head. "I wonder, could you tell me about the big hill just outside the city? It is quite a remarkable feature."
"What?"
said Six Beneficent Winds distractedly.
"The big hill. You want to know about that now?"
"Geography is a little hobby of mine." Someone's ear hit Six Beneficent Winds. On the ear.
We call it the big hill. Hey, look at what he's doing with his...
It seems remarkably regular. Is it a natural feature?
What? I don't know. They say it turned up thousands of years ago, during a terrible storm, when the first emperor died. He's going to be killed. How did he do that?
Six Beneficent Winds suddenly remembered as a child playing Shibo Yang Kong San with his grandfather. The old man always won. No matter how carefully he'd assembled his strategy, he'd find grandfather would place a tile quite innocently right in the crucial place just before he could make his big move. The ancestor had spent his whole life playing Shibo. The fight was just like that.
"Oh, my," he said.
"That's right," said Mr. Savaloy. "They've had a lifetime's experience of not dying. They've become very good at it."
"But why here? Why come here?"
"We're going to undertake a robbery," said Mr. Savaloy.
Six Beneficent Winds nodded sagely. The wealth of the Forbidden City was legendary. Probably even blood-sucking ghosts had heard of it.
"The talking vase of Emperor Pjisu?" he said.
"No."
"The jade head of Sung Tsuit Li?"
"No. Wrong track entirely, I'm afraid."
"Not the secret of how silk is made?"
"Good grief. Silkworms' bottoms. Everyone knows that. No, something rather more precious than that."
Despite himself, Six Beneficent Winds was impressed. Apart from anything else, only seven ninjas were still standing, and Cohen was fencing with one of them while rolling a cigarette in the other hand. And Mr. Savaloy could see it dawning in the fat man's eyes. The same thing had happened to him. Cohen came into people's lives like a rogue planet into a peaceful solar system, and you felt yourself being dragged along simply because nothing like that would ever happen to you again. He himself had been peacefully hunting for fossils during the school holidays, when he'd more or less stumbled into the camp of those particular fossils called the Horde. They'd been quite friendly, because he had neither weapons nor money, and they'd taken to him because he knew things they didn't. And that had been it. He'd decided there and then. It must have been something in the air. His past life had suddenly unrolled behind him, and he couldn't remember a single day of it that had been any fun. And it had dawned on him that he could join the Horde, or go back to school, and pretty soon a limp handshake, a round of applause, and his pension. It was something about Cohen. Maybe it was what they called charisma. It overpowered even his normal smell of a goat that had just eaten curried asparagus. He did everything wrong. He cursed people, and used what Mr. Savaloy considered very offensive language to foreigners. He shouted terms that would have earned anyone else a free slit throat from a variety of interesting ethnic weapons. And he got away with it. Partly because it was clear that there was no actual malice there, but mainly because he was, well, Cohen. A sort of basic natural force on legs. It worked on everything, When he wasn't actually fighting them, he got on a lot better with trolls than did people who merely thought that trolls had rights